the last verse of Genesis 49 to set the stage of where we are. We are going to talk about just a general overview of the life of Joseph and the fact that Joseph is probably the greatest type or picture, type of Christ in the Bible. And there are so many things in common between Joseph and Jesus Christ. And we want to study today a little bit, go through an overview of the life of Joseph and the end, toward the end at the in the message. But if you remember, he was a young man and he had had a dream. And his father, Jacob, Israel, his father had a special place in his heart for Joseph anyway. And then he has this dream, and this dream he tells to his brethren, his brothers, and that one day they'd bow down and worship him. And as a human being with siblings, I don't think they liked that too much. Amen. We can tell by the Word of God they didn't. They didn't care for that. They didn't want to hear that. They didn't want to accept that. And from that time on, they really, really hated Joseph, and they wanted to get rid of him. And if you'll remember, they were going to kill him. They cast him into this pit where there was no water and leave him for dead. And Reuben wasn't going to let that happen. They end up selling him into slavery to the Midianites. The Midianites take him, and he ends up at Potiphar's house in Egypt there. He ends up at Potiphar's house, and then Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him, and that didn't go over. So she made up a lie saying he tried to seduce her, basically. And then he ends up in prison, and then he's in the prison, and he's over, pretty much over the prison, and he's stuck in there, though. And then the butler and the baker come along, and they have these dreams, and they ask if he could help them out. He helps them out. He says God's the interpreter of these dreams, you know, and he tells them what the interpretation is, and the butler is going to be restored, and the baker is going to be hanged by his neck in a tree, and those things happen. And then he tells the butler, you know, remember me when you get out. And he says, I sure will, you know, buddy, and next thing you know, he doesn't. And we know Joseph was in there over 2 years, because there was 2 years at least between, there were 2 years between the time the butler got out and the time he actually remembered Joseph. And that 2 years later, Pharaoh's needing somebody to interpret a dream, and the butler goes, oh yeah, I remember a guy now, Joseph, a Hebrew guy there in prison. He's pretty good with these dreams. So Pharaoh calls him out after 2 years of the butler being out, and God gives him the interpretation of that dream. Joseph didn't interpret that thing. God did. And Joseph gave God the glory for it, and God elevated Joseph, put him over Egypt, and lined him up. So when that 7 years, if you remember the 7 years of feast and 7 years of famine that were predicted in Pharaoh's dream, prophesied, if you will. But anyway, those 7 years come to fruition, and Joseph, being a wise man, stored up enough to get him through the 7 years and then some. And his father and brethren end up coming to him and bowing down to him. They didn't even know who he was. His brethren did. And he took care of them. And that's such a magnificent type of Christ. But I want to look at some things at the end of Jacob's life going into Joseph and his brethren, dealing with his brethren. And the first thing I want, well, let's go ahead and start out in verse 49 or 39, 33 or 49, excuse me. I'll get that right. Verse 33 of chapter 49 of the book of Genesis. It says, when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered unto his people. And Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him. And Joseph commanded his servants, the physicians, to embalm his father, and the physicians embalmed Israel. And 40 days were fulfilled for him, for so are fulfilled the days of those which are embalmed, and the Egyptians mourned for him 70 days. And when the days of his mourning were past, Joseph spake unto the house of Pharaoh, saying, if now I have found grace in your eyes, speak, I pray you, in the ears of Pharaoh, saying, my father made me swear, saying, lo, I die in my grave which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan. There shalt thou bury me. Now therefore, let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. And Pharaoh said, go up and bury thy father, according as he made thee swear, And Joseph went up to bury his father, and with him went up all the servants of Pharaoh, the elders of his house, and all the elders of the land of Egypt, and all the house of Joseph and his brethren and his father's house. Only their little ones and their flocks and their herds they left in the land of Goshen. And there went up with him both chariots and horsemen, and it was a very great company. And they came to the threshing floor of Atad, which is before Jordan. And there they mourned with a great and very sorrow lamentation. And he made a mourning for his father 7 days. And when the inhabitants of the land, the Canaanites, saw the mourning in the floor of Atad, they said, "This is a grievous mourning to the Egyptians." Wherefore the name of it was called Abel-Mezrim, which is beyond Jordan. And his sons did unto him according as he commanded them, for his sons carried him into the land of Canaan and buried him in the cave in the field of Machpelah, which Abraham bought with the field for a possession of a burying place of Ephraim the Hittite before Mamre. And Joseph returned into Egypt, he and his brethren, and all that went up with him to bury his father after he had buried his father. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." And they sent a messenger to Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father." And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, "Behold, we be thy servants." And Joseph said unto them, "Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones." And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Now, I just want to say a few things about 3 points today. I want to look at the first thing in the last verse of 49, the first verse of 50. It says, "And when Jacob had made an end of commanding his sons, he gathered up his feet into the bed and yielded up the ghost and was gathered into his people. And Joseph fell upon his father's face and wept upon him and kissed him." The first thing I want to see is his love for his father. His love for his father. Joseph loved Jacob. Jesus loves Israel. Jacob is Israel, by the way. His name was changed to Israel. Joseph had a respect and a love for Jacob because Jacob had instilled some things into Joseph from a very young age. We know it was from a very young age because there was a gap, a period of time, where Joseph was thought to be dead and Jacob and Joseph were apart. Yet when they're reunited after all those years and Jacob passes on, Joseph is broken. Joseph loved his father. Joseph had a respect for his father. And it's just amazing today the attack the devil has on the family unit. I'm telling you, you kids, honor your mother and father. There has to be a respect for your mother and father. Even when mothers and fathers aren't perfect. Mothers and fathers make mistakes. But mothers and fathers, it is commanded for children to honor your mother and father. And show respect to your mother and father. That's one of the key things that's missing today, and that's why everything's going in the wrong direction. They'll listen to other people over their mother or their father. They have no respect anymore. Joseph had respect for and loved his father. In 15 through 20, you come down through this thing in chapter number 50, and it's talking about when Joseph's brethren saw their father was dead, they said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." And they sent a messenger to Joseph, saying, "Thy father did command before he died, saying, So shall ye say unto Joseph, Forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. And his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, Behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass, as it is this day, to save much people alive. Joseph loved his father, and Joseph loved the Lord. You see what happens when you love the Lord, and I'm sure all of his brethren had some kind of a hint of a relationship with God, a hint of an understanding of God because of Jacob. But when you really begin to love the Lord, you start to see things differently. And Joseph saw things differently. His brothers were all worried about what they had done. They didn't see the big picture. They were in the end of the big picture, and they didn't understand the big picture. Joseph understood the big picture because he loved his father, he loved the father, and he loved the Lord. He was able to see things differently because of his walk with God. He says, well, you know, am I in the place of God? You meant it for evil. God meant it into good, to save much people alive. I know there's a part of that verse I left out, but to save much people alive is what I'm going to look at. To save much people alive, and that's exactly what Jesus Christ died for. You get the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that gospel was to save much people alive. And that's what he's done today. If you call on the name of Jesus Christ, he gives you life. He understood some things because of his walk with the Lord. In verse 21, we see something. This is where I want to land for a while. In verse 21, it says, Now therefore, fear ye not. I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly to them. He loved his brothers. So how could that be with everything they did to him? Well, he loved the Father and he loved the Lord. And his walk with the Lord allowed him to be able to love his brother. That's important because we're going to get on each other's nerves. We talked about this before. He said, I know some people. I know a lot of Christians, a lot of saved folks, a lot of Baptists. And to be honest with you, this person here is easier to get along with than that person. Well, that's simply not the truth. If you hang around the person you think is easy to get along with long enough, you're going to find out that they can be just as ornery as the one you have trouble getting along with now. Amen? You know why? We're all human beings. We're all fallible. We're all sin-cursed. We all are saved by the grace of God through the blood of Jesus Christ. We're all sinners saved by grace. We all have a flesh to battle. We all have a little bit of pride going on that we're dealing with all the time. We all have, and that's what gets us in trouble. When you can't get along with anybody, it's pride. You say, well, they done me wrong. I didn't deserve it. Well, who are you? They nailed Jesus Christ to a cross. He didn't deserve it. Who are we? Who are we? Look what his brethren did to him. Anybody in here have a brother in Christ that threw you in a pit, left you to die, sold you into slavery, sent you on down the road, all these things? None of you. None of us. Oh, we've had a little taste here or there of that. Said, boy, I just wish we could all get along. And that sounds good on its face, and we will in heaven. That might aggravate some of you. I won't be able to be honoring with somebody up there. You won't want to anymore. It'll be all right. Amen? But in heaven, we'll all get along. But you know what happens here? Iron sharpeneth iron. You know what? Why Joseph was able to love his brethren? If Joseph's brethren would have come to him 2 days after he was pulled out of the pit, it may not have been like that. Matter of fact, I guarantee you it wouldn't have been. It wouldn't have been. But see, when his brethren cast him into that pit, he was upset. I guarantee you, Joseph was a young man, and young men are full of fight. And God has to wear that some of that out of him. But when he's in that pit, he wasn't thinking, man, I sure miss Levi. I sure miss... He was thinking, how could they do this to me? I'm their brother. We're blood. You ever thought that? How could another Christian do that to me? Or how could I do that to them? But he's in that pit. He's not happy. They pull him out and sell him into slavery. And you know what happens in slavery? They use you and abuse you and beat you. So Joseph, I'm going to guess, since he's the greatest type of Christ in the Old Testament, probably had some scars on him from beatings he got from the Midianites. even if he was doing what they told him to do, they still had the idea they had to subdue him with a whip. So here he's got these scars with Midianites, and I'm guaranteeing he wasn't thinking, boy, I'm sure glad Levi and them cast me in. I'm sure glad Asher. I'll tell you what, I'm happy days. I just can't wait to see them again. I guarantee you that wasn't going through his mind. When he gets to Pharaoh's house and the Potiphar's wife is in there, and Potiphar's wife kicks him, Potiphar's house, where the Potiphar's wife gets him kicked into prison. He's down there in prison. He can't get out. I guarantee he's not thinking, boy, if I could get out, I'd just run and see Reuben. Guarantee it. And could you imagine? Here these two guys come to him, the butler and the baker, and Joseph's in there walking with the Lord, praying. You know when he's walking with the Lord and praying, you know what's going on? He still have bad days. He's still having a bad time. He's still struggling. There had to be days where he woke up and said, I'm never getting out of here, Lord. What about that dream I had? Amen? What about what you told me? 5, 6, 7, 8, 10 years? What about what you told me then? You think he didn't get discouraged? And then the butler and the baker come along. He tells them, he interprets a dream. God interprets it through Joseph. And it comes to fruition. And then the butler's out. He's back in service. And a day passes. Nothing. He said, well, they just got a little paperwork. They'll get me out of here. No problem. They just got to go through the process, the bureaucracy. They'll get me out of here. A week passes. And he's like, man, I'm sure we're getting close. A month, a year passes. A year and a half passes. Time he gets up to that two-year mark, he's like, I'm done here. And the Lord says, hang on. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Amen. And then he gets that call. And he goes out of that prison and he interprets Pharaoh's dream. And God puts him in that position that he had told him about all those years before. And his brothers come and worship him. They bow down at his feet. You see, if we all just got along all the time and we had no opposition, we could talk about love, 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 but you would not learn to be like Jesus Christ. So why doesn't God just stop everything that's going wrong? He could, but it would be to your detriment. You wouldn't grow. You would be the same saved person you were at day one, at day 2001 or whatever. You'd be the same person. Just be saved. Amen? But unfortunately, we go through painful things in life to teach us to be like Jesus Christ. And a lot of the painful things we go through are self-inflicted. Some of the painful things we go through are friend and brother or sister inflicted. Some of them are even family, biological family inflicted. You see, pressure produces power. I agree with that. You just like a bullet in a gun barrel, pressure produces power. But if there's more pressure than the barrel can take, the power's not directed the right way. Pressure directed the right way produces strength and power from God. If the things you go through in life, everything you go through, all the pain, all the agony, all the disappointment, if you focus all of yourself on the Lord instead of quitting and wanting to draw nigh to Him, hey, when you've got nowhere to go, you always have a place to go. Amen. And that place is Jesus Christ. That place is your Bible. That place is your prayer life. That place is your church. You say, well, I got church family members. I'm so messed up right now, I don't even want to be around them. Well, come to church, sit by yourself in the back corner. I know it's weird, Baptist sitting in a different seat, but sit in another seat, hide out, hang out, make ugly faces, whatever you got to do, but sit under the preaching of the Word of God, sing together, love the Lord together, and let the Lord bring you through it. Amen. But if Joseph wouldn't have went through all those things, he wouldn't have been able to treat his brothers the way he did at the end. He learned to love like Christ because he learned to suffer like Christ. The only way he could be a type of Christ is to learn to love like Christ by suffering like Christ, and he suffered like Christ. The most amazing verse in what we read today, to me, is verse 21. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Do you realize after Jesus Christ took the sin of the world on his shoulders on Calvary, took the wrath of the sin of every man, woman, and child on that cross, he rose again wanting to save your soul. Not just save you. Hey, one of these days he's going to rule over his very people that rejected him. Type of Joseph? No, Joseph's a type of Christ. But look at the similarities. Isn't it amazing? Take some pretty sharp men thousands of years apart to write a book like this. Amen. God wrote it, but we knew that. But what an amazing thing. He is going to rule and reign. And he saved our soul even though we were guilty. And he was innocent. Isn't that amazing? Every once in a while you hear somebody get off of a death row or off of a life sentence because a new DNA evidence shows they're innocent. And you'll see some of those guys, they'll come out of there and they'll say, I'm glad to be out. And some of them are mad. And boy, why wouldn't they be mad? But some of them, I believe, are saved and they've been walking with the Lord, probably got their life straightened out in there. And they come out and they're just glad to be free for whatever they've got left. I'm glad to be free for whatever I've got left, amen. Because I was in prison by sin until I met Jesus Christ and he saved my soul. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. When I come to know Jesus Christ, he made me free. And now we have this amazing verse 21. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. Here's your nourishment. God doesn't just save you, he'll nourish you. You ever heard, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink? You can lead a Baptist to the Bible, but you can't make him read it. Amen. Amen. But he'll nourish you. You say, well, my body's still getting older. My body's still losing ground and going downhill. Yeah, but he'll nourish your spirit and nourish your soul. He'll make you a strong spiritual Christian. He won't just save you and leave you. He'll nourish you. Oh, man. We talked about this a little bit in Sunday school. And your children. Isn't that something? I'm going to look that guy up. If I can find him, I'm going to call him. It's been probably 17 years ago or so, 16, 18 years, whatever it was, that I went to that church. I probably didn't even want to be in church that day. But that guy preached that message on reading your Bible with your family, and it just changed my life. One message. If I'd have missed that one message, my kids could be in rehab somewhere right now. My kids could both be married to heathens right now. One message. I want to call that guy. If I can find him, I think I know what his name was. I'll just call anybody. Just thank him. Amen. That one message not only changed my life, it changed my family's life. You know what? I was thinking about it yesterday. I might not even be married right now if it wasn't for that one message. My wife's like, you could have skipped that one. No, I'm just kidding. No, but I'm saying that one message changed eternity for some souls. Say, was it a great message? I don't know what was it a magnificent oration? Was it like Charles Spurgeon? I don't remember that. I just remember that God spoke to me. There were probably 100 people or 70 people in there. I don't know how many of them read their Bible every day after that, but God spoke to me and God told me, you preacher, you that are going to be preaching in the jail, you that are going to be preaching in the nursing home, you need to read your Bible and you need to read it with your family. And we started reading it that day. Because of one message. I will nourish you and your little ones. So, well, I don't know a lot of Bible. I don't know a lot about rightly dividing. It doesn't matter. This is the Word of God. If you read this to your family, it will change their life. They don't need a great exposition about how, this is the millennial reign and this is that. They need the Word of God. They need to know that God loves them, that Jesus Christ died for them, that he rose again. Now, not only will he save them, but he'll nourish them, and he'll nourish them and their little ones down the road. And then you know what he says in verse 21? And he comforted them. You ever been comforted by God? And spake kindly unto them. To me, right now, today, that's the most amazing verse in the Bible. Right now, right this second. That is just so amazing to me. Now, therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Here's the nourishment. You want to know where the comfort is? Read the book of Psalms. You want some comfort? You're going through. Hey, the devil's got you face down, dragging you through the rocks and muck and mire of this world. Read Psalms. Comfort. Oh, man, I'll tell you what. And spake kindly unto them. Read the Song of Solomon. The way the bride looks at the groom and the bridegroom looks at the bride and the way they speak of each other. Speak kindly. You know, by the way, God doesn't have a perfect bride. He will through the blood of Christ. Through the washing of water by the word. After the judgment seat of Christ. But you know God still loves us? And he's still jealous over us. He don't want the devil doing what he does. But you know what he's allowing? I mean, ultimately, but he allows things now so you and I can be more like Joseph when he sat on the throne. Or better yet, more like Jesus. Amen. So I just wish this, that, and the other. Well, you know what? Don't wish away all the good. Because unfortunately, for the flesh, most of the bad is for the good. If that pressure is directed the right way, if that pain will put you on your knees and put you focused on Jesus Christ, hey, and look, and if that's the only way God got your attention, but he got your attention, and you might sit around and think, well, there's 100 other ways. Well, maybe God tried 100 other ways. You didn't realize it. But if he got you to turn from whatever you're focused on and loving whatever you're loving instead of loving him and turn to him, praise God. Joseph loved his father. He loved the Lord. He loved his brethren. Jesus Christ loved the Father. You know what he wanted to do when he was on this earth? The Father's will. The Father's will. He loved the Lord. He loved his brethren. If you're going to love the brethren the way God wants us to love the brethren, you're going to have to learn to love the Lord. You know what that means? Sometimes the devil's going to get a chance to drag you face down through the rocks. And sometimes you're going to have some scars that you take through all the way through your life, and them scars will, hey, the spiritual mirror, you might not see them on the outside, but when you look into this, you'll remember them scars. And sooner or later, you'll get to a point where you say, well, I'm glad for that scar, because that scar there turned me here. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. That's what David said. Because it turned him back to God. And again, I'm not making light of anything anybody goes through. Life is tragic. It's tough. It's sometimes horrible things happen. I'm hearing about so many horrible things now, it just breaks my heart. But if the people will focus on Jesus Christ, if we will all focus on him and just have a desire to be more like him and to grow toward him and to love him more, he'll bring you through better. I mean, look, read the book of Job. When he come through, he said, I'll come through as gold. Amen. I'm not sure God has a lot of gold going on anymore. Too many people wanting out of the fire, and that's all they can worry about. When the truth is, we go through things to purify us here. So God can separate off the dross and drag that off and make us more like Jesus Christ here. Joseph. Man, I'll tell you. I guarantee you, in the pit, he was probably upset, probably disappointed, probably hurt, probably feeling bad for Joseph. Time he got to the prison, he was probably thinking, Reuben, you and I were close. Levi, you know better. Asher, talk about Asher. If I get my hands on Zebulun. Amen. Oh, he's going to wish he'd never been born. Reuben had the authority to stop it. I mean, he eventually got him out of the pit, but go on down the line, boy, and he had all this anger and all this hate and frustration and disappointment, and by the time God got him through the other end, he said, I'm just going to love you and nourish you and take care of you. Because that's what God does to us. He just loves us anyway. And nourishes us anyway and takes care of us anyway. You ever really, really, really messed up? I'm not stopping there, so don't raise your hand yet. You ever really messed up? And you go to God and you're expecting Him just to take a boat oar and smack you upside the head with it. Not the thin or thick side either, the thin side, right? And He just says, come to me. Get back online. I forgive you. I'll heal you up. I'll put you back in service. When the devil told you for 6, 7, 8 days, 10 days, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, a month, God's through with you, you go back to Him, He's going to whack your head off. And you go back to the Lord, and He says, I love you. I forgive you. Just get right. Amen? And that's what Joseph did to his brother. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. I just want you to think. Maybe ask God to show you if there's somebody that you have something against that really, if you looked at it in a different way, that maybe you could be a stronger person by just forgiving them and going on. Somebody that's done you wrong. Somebody that cuts you really deeply. Somebody that hurt you like nobody's ever hurt you in the past. Nobody's ever hurt you before. Somebody that lied. Somebody that mocked, ridiculed, injured you. Maybe if you just get that in your past, get it under the blood, deal with it the right way, you could be more like Jesus Christ and go forward. All those things that Joseph went through were types. Things that Christ would in the future go through. And they spat on God Himself. They ripped the hair from His face. They beat Him to where He could hardly walk. Nailed Him to a cross. Ridiculed Him as He hung there. Mocked Him as He took the sin debt of the world on Him. Watched Him die, most cruel death. Stuck a spear in His side. And what did you say somebody done to you before? Joseph realized that the things that had happened to him were really nothing compared to what God would do for us. And Joseph realized that he wasn't more important than God. Am I in the place of God? Am I in the place of God? Let it go, get it behind you, and be more like Jesus Christ. Eyes closed for just another minute. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. What a blessing. What a love that he had for his brethren because of the love he had for his God. Father, help us. Help us to get through the storms and tragedies and pain of life to your honor and your glory. This flesh wants to take and make it all internal about me, 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 and how I hurt and how I go through this and how I go through that. And Lord, that's a battle we fight. But help us to love you and to focus on you and to give every ounce of what we have that you've given us, every breath, to try to glorify you. Help us to be more like Jesus Christ. Thank you for the example you've given us in Joseph. It was just a man that learned how to love like you love. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.